It's Rumination Thursday. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel, and with me on the phone is the Reverend Wes Reimnes. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing very good and very happy. We've got Buzz here to phone you. I forgot all about phoning you.
I wonder what was going on here.
Now, by the way, if that ever happens, just phone the station, you know, the long-distance number, and they put you on right away. That's 1-800-730-2727, which anybody can phone, but we've got a special topic we're going to be talking about, and I need to have you on more often, Wes. You know why?
Why's that?
You gave me plenty of information. I certainly appreciate this, and you also sent me a photo. So why don't I begin by telling the people what we're talking about. This came to us. A priest is told no longer to celebrate the Mass because he participated with a woman priest. And in the article that I read when I let Wes know about this, I didn't have a photo, but he sent me the photo. And it has, I can understand why you sent me the photo. It's the older priest and the woman so-called priest behind an altar with the elements of the Lord's Supper on it, but then there's a big sign in front of the altar. Would you explain what's on there, Wes?
Well, that was what I thought was rather interesting, because it had a bunch of sayings on it. On one side, it said lay empowerment, end racism, financial accountability, and then it had GLBT. I was able to pick up the gay lesbians, but I didn't know what the BT was.
Transsexuals is the T, and
okay.
And bi something, but I can't think of what it is. It's not bipolar, but gays, lesbians, something transsexual.
Bisexual,
yeah, could be that.
And then on the other side it said ordained women, married people, have open communion. So it really talked about all kinds of, quote, openness that I thought really didn't go along with a lot of what Scripture was saying.
Well, you know, this makes a point I made for a long time. When Adam and Eve began to sin, that was only the beginning. Anytime you have somebody has false teaching from the Bible, you know what's going to happen. That's just the beginning. So not only do these women want to be a priest, but now, therefore, gay and lesbian and transgender rights, which means they're saying that that lifestyle is okay. It's not an abomination to Almighty God, which, of course, it is. So it's no surprise at all. It happened within our own church when some of the professors started using what's called the historical critical method, doubting what the Bible has to say. And we finally even had a professor who did not think it was necessary that Jesus rose from the dead bodily. If you found his body in the grave, he said, that wouldn't bother me. He rose spiritually.
Right.
So it's just the beginning. But do you have some Bible verses that we can help our listeners understand why?
I don't know if you got those.
I was asking you, so it would make smart.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason I sent those to you,
yes,
I found it critical that in some of the research I started reading some more on this, they ignore these. They ignore these Bible passages. For instance,
First of all, they do say they have a voluminous number of Bible passages to support their position, but you're saying they're ignoring these important ones.
They're ignoring these important ones. They bypass them. I've read several authors, you know, that talk about women's, one in particular, that he shows scripturally how you can't use women's ordination, or you can't be an ordained clergy in the women, and he uses this, and these others will quote him, but they won't use his.
Well, give us a little background on a couple of the Bible verses.
Well, for instance, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about there that I don't. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, who is, and God is the head of Christ. So it talks about how how he sets up that that order of creation. And you read a little bit further there in 1 Corinthians, for man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for woman's sake, but woman for man's sake. If you remember from our reading in Genesis, it talks about how she was created as a helpmeet, as a helper for that, for Adam.
So yes.
It lays it out there. And it's not to say you put one over against another, so to speak, because in that same Corinthians passage it says, the Lord is in the Lord, neither is the woman independent of the man, nor is the man independent of the woman. But really what happens is God, in creating man and woman, complement one another. It's not what you call an equality type basis, but men are created a certain way, women are created a certain way, and they complement one another, or as the Lord says, they're not independent of one another. And it goes on to say the woman originates from the man, so the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. So it establishes in that 1 Corinthians 11 the order of creation.
There's certain Bible verses we no longer follow. They're called the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. We don't sacrifice animals, circumcise our children for spiritual reasons. How come you just can't put women or nation into that category?
Good point there. Because he did not do away with the order of creation.
Yes, very well said. In other words, the New Testament continues to back that up. It's like homosexuality. Not only is it opposed by God in the Old Testament books, but in the New Testament, like in Romans 1, it indicates it's a huge abomination before Almighty God.
Right, and that's a particular point that you continually make in your law gospel presentations, that it's got to be backed up by Scripture, and it isn't just 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 14 goes on to say, just as the law also says, right, and 1 Timothy chapter 2 talks about, for it was Adam who was first created, then Eve. So there's three or four passages that just keep that theme of order of creation in order.
It's kind of interesting that you also have the Roman Catholic reasons for not ordaining women. And one of them I saw, I really didn't like. So even though the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran position, the true Lutheran position, is correct on not ordaining women, the Roman Catholic reason I saw was very interesting. I want you to respond to this, Wes. They say that women should not be ordained because all the disciples were male. Now, why wouldn't we agree with that?
Because it had not anything to do with male or female in terms of why God went ahead and said men should be ordained. It
yes.
has to deal back with the whole order of creation.
Yes.
I didn't have time to sit down and go through the Catholic documents. What I sent you was how they looked at it. And I find that in the Reformed circles, Lutheran circles, where they use that same kind of reasoning, that they buy. That's why I sent you those other Bible passages. They ignore those, and I wasn't sure whether the Roman Catholics had used that. They attacked the reasoning of some writer.
No, the Roman Catholic Church actually uses more of tradition than they did the Bible. At least in the article, but I'm quite sure priests would point to the passages like Timothy and such. But here's a kind of interesting question, because the very, very, very liberal Lutheran Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, that ordains homosexuals, and of course, therefore, abortion also, they will use this passage from Galatians 3. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, number one, what is it talking about? And number two, why can it not be used in the women ordination argument?
Because what that one is talking about, as you well know, is talking about the order of redemption. We're all saved equally.
And in contrast to the order of?
Creation.
Okay, so explain the difference between the two, please.
Well, the order of redemption says, makes no difference who you are, what your race, color, or creed, your gender is. Jesus died on the cross for all mankind, and all people who believe or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ go to heaven because he died for all of mankind and those that believe upon him. The order of redemption, the order of creation, lays out that he first created man and then he created woman, and he did not, as we saw in those passages that we were using earlier, did not do away with the order of creation.
In other words, while in the order of redemption, there is a slave man and a free man, just because there's now no distinction in regard to redemption doesn't mean that the slave is free. He still is a slave or a servant in those days, and therefore it's also the same with the male or female and the Jew nor Greek. They don't lose their nationality. They don't lose their vocation. They don't lose their gender. And therefore, everything in the Bible that kind of, how shall I put it, constricts your movements because of your gender. For example, I'm a male. God doesn't permit me to become pregnant and have a baby. Only females are. If you're a female, God doesn't permit you to be a pastor. Only males can be a pastor. And that order of creation still goes on today. I'll give you a perfect example of it. You have children.
Right.
Because they're Christians, that means there's no distinction between your son and daughter and you and your wife, right?
Right.
But does that mean they no longer have to obey you when they were your children, young?
That's a whole other matter.
That's right. That's the order of creation.
Yeah.
They are to submit to mother and father. Now, when your son gets married, he is to leave father and mother and now makes a commitment to his wife. The order of creation changes. But people, this is a great distinction you brought up here, because I don't think people keep in mind the distinction between the order of creation, where all the restraints are still in place for children and parents. For example, if I'm driving to Springfield and you pass me over the speed limit, I don't have the right to stop you and give you a ticket.
Right.
A policeman does. Even though the policeman would be equal in God's eyes in the order of redemption, we're not equal in the order of creation.
Creation. You know, and I was reading this Fritz Zerst, The Office of the Woman in the Church.
How do you spell his last name?
Zerst, Zerbst.
Okay.
Came out of the Concordia Heritage.
Yes,
series.
Yes.
It was written back in, or was translated from the German into the English in 1955. But he makes this distinction. You know, the New Testament demands no change of social order, but it does call for a change in ethical behavior of human beings. And I think one of the distinctions he was making, which we're talking about, God did not get rid of the order of creation, which you just got done talking about. But because we are redeemed children of God, we care about whom we love and how we take care of those people as a person in Christ.
Yes. So that regardless of a person's particular stance in the order of creation, we're still to help our neighbor. And just because they're a different nationality or a different gender or a different vocation that is beneath ours doesn't mean that we're supposed to extend them help as God so indicates. Isn't that a summary of the second commandment, sets of commandments?
Yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know.
And Jesus tells the lawyer in Luke 10 that is as important as the first set, which is thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul.
And Paul said it in Romans when he said love is the summary of all the commandments. You know.
Yes. Love is a fulfilling of the law, in Romans 10. And now I'll tell you how many people misunderstand that. These women priests say it is a loving action to permit women to be priests. Therefore, it's a fulfilling of the law because it's an act of love. They reverse the process. They don't understand that the only thing that is love is when you fulfill the law that God has given you, not one that you've made up.
Right.
So they reverse. They think love, no matter what you do, is a fulfilling of the law. So therefore, in some countries, somebody who's really old and sick, you can help kill, you know, with drugs or something, and that's an act of love. Well, no, God considers that to be an act of murder.
Well, murder, yep.
Yeah, in fact, yesterday we were talking about that in light of the fact that somebody was, his name was David, complaining that he no longer believes in God because God isn't moral. And he was giving some examples. And the point I made was this, and I'd like you to respond to that, is thou shalt not kill or murder doesn't mean you can't kill anyone. What it means is you can't kill anyone without God's permission. So in war you can kill, capital punishment, in defense of your home if necessary. But just because you don't like somebody, you can't put them to death. You have no permission to do that. Now, God definitely can never act in an immoral way, because anytime he decides something, guess what? He has his own permission. So by definition, God can never sin.
Correct.
Now, what these women aren't understanding is they have made a God in their own image. And therefore, they're really, what's the real problem with them? It's the same problem that Eve had.
They're deciding that they're going to be God. They're in essence setting themselves up and ignoring how God has said. And you said it earlier when we had the problems at the seminary. We pick and choose what parts of the Bible are going to be God's word and what parts are not going to be God's word.
Yes. And they do that on the basis because they read the Bible like any other human document. When you read the Post-Dispatch, that's the newspaper in St. Louis, or you got what, the Springfield or where you're at. The fact of the matter is you don't trust the essay writer or what he says. You don't immediately buy into what he's saying until you check out the facts also. And unfortunately, that's how they read the Bible. They think that there's a bias. In fact, there's a huge bias among many theologians who do not think that Paul is the same as Jesus in their theology, that Paul went much further than Jesus would have. And so unless you can quote directly from Jesus, in fact, I've heard this 1,000 times, that obviously Jesus isn't against homosexuality, because he never speaks against it. It's not till you get to Paul. What they forget is the Holy Spirit was inspiring all the writers of the Bible.
Exactly.
So what other points would you want to make from this women's group that want to be priests?
I continually come back to this being able to proof text. I mean, you gave some of the reasons that they gave, but you know, what I found was clearly lacking when I went and did a little bit more research when you told me we were going to talk about this today, was there a lack of use of those Corinthian passages or adequately doing it. I even ran across a Missouri Senate lady writer who did the same rationale. They just took a couple quotes from a priest or from a theologian and said, well, we disagree with it. And they zipped over to the Galatians passage but bypassed Corinthians and Timothy on the order of creation. You find it pretty much lacking in all the discussions.
You know, this again shows you the many people out there, and I don't know why, maybe they got thin skin or something, they just hate hearing the idea that Christianity is not a reasonable faith, a rational faith. Well, here's another example that makes no sense at all to me. Why doesn't God allow women to be priests? Well, he talks about the orders of creation. He gives some reasons there, but that's really kind of a symptom and some of his explanation. But by and large, the only answer we really can come up with is God says it. That settles it. That there really is no rational way that we can explain why women should not be priests outside of the Bible, is there?
I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, I can't, all this other rationalization, they're smart, they can do things that men can't do, you know,
yes,
in terms
right.
of you know, but you're back to rationalizing. The only thing I can come up with when I read all of this is God said it, that settles it.
Yeah, it's, you see, on the obvious thing, like women can have babies become pregnant, men cannot. Now, why did God do that? I can say I'm as smart as a woman. I know a lot of men who can take care of babies properly. Men's bodies could be able to be pregnant, but God doesn't permit it. Why doesn't he? I have no idea. But he doesn't. And so once he makes his decision, we're not to be arguing with it by using reason or rational ideas, saying, well, I can preach as good as a man. In fact, I think some women could probably preach better than men, especially if they knew distinctions between law and gospel, and the man is talking about that faith is conditional or something like that, rather right. than unconditional. So that's no reason, though, why they can be priests. You know another commandment that I can't figure God out on? You're going to be surprised.
That?
The sixth commandment. Why is it wrong to commit adultery?
You know, he connects marriage with the Church of Christ. You see that.
Yeah, I know that, Christ, but why did he do that? For example, how many jobs did you have, Wes, before you went to the seminary?
Oh, my gosh, I must have had about a half dozen or so.
Okay, now, when you quit one and joined another, quit one job, I did this seven times. Not once did I sin. So I'm
right.
saying, well, look, if I don't like the wife I have, why can't I go to another wife? And then not like her, go to another. In fact, that's kind of like some of the Jews had that idea in Jesus' day. Just give a writ of divorce. Well, God says no. And he does back it up with what you were saying about how marriage, a man should leave his mother and father, cleave to his woman, they shall be one. And there are only two reasons for a divorce from a biblical point of view. But why did God set it up that way? We have no idea. Because that certainly isn't true in the animal world.
Yeah.
Even the way they were created, without sin coming into the world, they could have multiple partners and things like that. But for human beings, no. So you finally get to a point where our job isn't to explain to anybody what God wants to be done in the area of behavior. Our job is only to reveal it. And the Holy Spirit then uses his persuasive powers. I tell you, if I read something in the Bible and I'm corrected on it, maybe I had a wrong view, once I'm corrected, that's now my view because that's what the Bible says.
Right. Oh, just on a little note.
Yes.
I also sent you that 1 Timothy 3 where the pastor is to be a husband of one wife.
Yes.
I oftentimes, when I'm talking to one of them, I said, how can you be a husband?
Yes. Yeah, that's very clear. That I would say, is a correct. Chapter 3 of Timothy, verse 2, a pastor must be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, a good behavior, hospitable, and also able to teach, one who rules his own house well. See, that's
right.
found in verse 4, and God gives the command for the husband to rule his own house well, not to the wife.
That's
because
right.
the husband is the first line of defense, so to speak. So what KFUO is all about is we're not trying to prove or convince you that Christianity is a rational or reasonable religion, because it isn't. It's against common sense. But when it comes to the scripture, once God says it, that settles it. And that's why we are here, to reveal the wonderful truths of God's word. In the remaining time, Wes, when's your services this week?
We're having our children's Christmas program on Saturday at 6 p.m. And Sunday our services are 7:45, 9 o'clock Bible class, and 10:15 worship here at St. Paul's Havana at corner of Pearl and Market Streets.
And where's your church?
Havana, Illinois.
Havana, Illinois.
On the Illinois River.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. And that was Wes Reimnitz. And we'll have him back, I'm sure, on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. It's Open Mic Friday. We'll be taking a look at the hymn assigned for this coming Sunday. But you can email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com in order to get any questions or comments to me, as well as phone tomorrow at 1-800-730-2727. Till then, Tom Baker, God
bless.
Listen
to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.